Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. We looked in chapter 11 at the line that went from Noah to Abram. And in chapter 12, we have the call of Abram. But I want you to see just the preceding paragraph in chapter 11. Actually, two paragraphs. Go back to verse 27 of chapter 11, and we'll start our reading there. This is God's word. "These are the family records of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran fathered Lot. Haran died in his native land, in Ur of the Chaldeans, during his father Terah's lifetime. Abram and Nahor took wives. Abram's wife was named Sarai, and Nahor's wife was named Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Sarai was unable to conceive. She did not have a child. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, Haran's son, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they set out together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years and died in Haran. The Lord said to Abram, 'Go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you.' So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the site of Shechem at the Oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.' So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. He built an altar to the Lord there, and he called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram journeyed by stages to the Negev. There was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to stay there for a while because the famine in the land was severe. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, 'Look, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, "This is his wife." They will kill me, but let you live. Please, say you're my sister, so it will go well for me because of you, and my life will be spared on your account.' When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. Pharaoh's officials saw her and praised her to Pharaoh. So the woman was taken to Pharaoh's household. He treated Abram well because of her, and Abram acquired flocks and herds, male and female donkeys, male and female slaves, and camels. But the Lord struck Pharaoh and his household with severe plagues because of Abram's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh sent for Abram and said, 'What have you done to me? Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister so that I took her as my wife? Now, here is your wife. Take her and go. Then Pharaoh gave his men orders about him, and they sent him away with his wife and all he had. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, God called Abram to leave the familiar and to go to a place that he'd never been, that one day his descendants would receive as an inheritance from God. But it didn't start all that well. It started out with his dad saying, "Let's go to Canaan." He may not have used those words, but that's what the text says happened. But along the way, before they got there, dad decided, "I'm not going any further." And they settled down in a place that they named for Haran, the son who died. Abram's father was stuck. He'd experienced a great loss, and instead of completing the journey that he started, he just stopped at a place called Haran. They're the ones who called it that. Now, I just feel like I need to share this because I have seen more than a few people make this mistake. God is taking you from point A to point B, but you decide to stop at point A, B. I'm not going to go all the way, not going to go where God's taking me. I'm not going to stay where I was, but I don't want to go all the way. I'm just going to stop here, and I'm going to spend the rest of my days thinking about what I lost. I lost my son. I'm going to name this place for him so that I can be reminded all the time and I can tell other people about it. I'm going to focus on my loss instead of focusing on the destination where God's taking me. There are folks who do not focus. They lose sight of the goal. And they stop taking steps to reach the goal. And they get focused on what was left behind. Haran had died back home. That was part of the past. Well, is it all right to grieve? Absolutely. But we do not grieve as those who have no hope. And so you've got to be able to leave the past behind and go where God is taking you and not get stuck in the middle. Unfortunately, Abram's father spent the rest of his life stuck, looking back to the past instead of focused on the future. Don't make that mistake. There are all kinds of ways that you could end up making that mistake. Do not do it. Do you know your past? Yes. Do you know where you've come from? Yes. But your focus needs to be on where you're going.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
The Lord said to Abram, "Go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you." He had to leave the familiar, the comfortable, the place where he'd been for a long time to go to a place that the Bible says he didn't know where he was going. You read about it in the book of Hebrews. It says he obeyed and went to a place that he didn't know. Place, I've never been there. How am I supposed to do this? You do this in obedience to God. You know that on this journey you are not alone. God has a plan for you. Let me tell you something. God has a plan for you. So I'm not Abram. I'm not pretending you are. And I'm not suggesting that you're supposed to move to Canaan. What I am telling you is you need to be prepared to pursue whatever call God has on your life. You need to focus on doing the will of God, not on what makes you comfortable, what's familiar. I've done this before. I know how to do that. I'm going to stick with that. Is your focus on whatever God wants, or is your focus on what you already know how to do? One of my children, I won't say which one, was totally frustrated because he felt like he already knew the stuff they were trying to teach him in elementary school. They just couldn't challenge him enough. And he wanted to be sure we knew that he wasn't being sufficiently challenged. Another one of my children, I picked him up after his first day in the public school and I said, "How did it go today?" He said, "It was good." And I said, "What did you learn?" And he said, "This, this, and this." And I said, "Well, you already know that." And he said, "Yes, that's why I liked it." It's just two different approaches, isn't it? One person always looking for something new. The other person really preferring the familiar. Okay? Now, I can relate to that. I don't like to have to learn stuff, particularly in a public setting. Okay? Because somehow having to make my mistakes in front of other folks. Have you ever seen a little kid learn to walk? If you've seen little children learning how to walk, they don't just the first time get up and trot on off across the room. I mean, it's very unsteady, and they fall a lot. That's the way we learn. It takes practice, and you will make mistakes. And if you want to get where God is calling you, if you want to pursue what God has in mind for you, then you need to be prepared for some embarrassing moments when you're trying to do what you believe God says. And I hope I get this right. I read an article yesterday about one of the Philadelphia Eagles who was in a religious meeting. And as the pastor was giving the invitation, God spoke to his heart and said, "There's somebody here who's going to commit suicide unless someone offers them hope." And he said, "I knew it was God, but I started second guessing. What if that's just my imagination? What if that's just a random thought?" But he was convinced it was the Lord, and so he did something that made him extremely uncomfortable. And that is, he stood up and asked the pastor if he could say a word. The pastor let him have the microphone, and he spoke to the group, and he said, "I believe that there's someone here tonight who's considering taking their life. I want you to know God has hope for you. There is hope in Jesus Christ." Three people, three guys that night said, "That was me. That was me." It wasn't just one. Let me tell you something. Your obedience has the potential to change lives. Do what God tells you. Obey the Lord. Now let me hasten to say, God will never tell you to do something that is contrary to his word. If you get a thought that you're supposed to say this or do that, and it's contrary to scripture, that's not God. God doesn't contradict himself. But that's one reason you need to know God's word, is so that you learn to know his voice, so that when God speaks to you, you know that's from the Lord. So, God called Abram and said, "Go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." Now, he's married to a woman who can't have children, and God's saying, "I'm going to make you into a great nation." I don't know how that's supposed to work. My descendants are going to inherit the land? I don't have any descendants. What are we talking about here? "I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." How did that happen? Well, we're going to read the story of how God gave Abram and Sarai new identities, new names. They became Abraham and Sarah, and they had a little boy named Laughter, which is what the name Isaac means. And through Isaac, and then through Jacob, would eventually come a little boy named Yeshua. And he would offer his life as the sacrifice for sin, so that you and I could have new life, so that we could be forgiven. He would take the punishment we deserve so that we could be saved. Abram didn't understand that. He didn't get all that. God didn't explain all that to him. God just said, "I'm going to do this. And I will bless you so that you can sit around and enjoy all the blessings." Is that what it said? No, God said, "I will bless you so that you might be a blessing. You're going to bless others. I will bless others through you. In fact, I will bless the whole world through you." So there's a journey. And there is blessing. But there's also a flawed man. Abram is the great example of faith, trusting God. But even he, at times, wavered and did the wrong thing. And we have an example of it right off the bat. They run out of food. Now he's going around the place God's brought him to. He's worshiping the Lord in that place. He's believing the promises. But in the place God's brought him to, they run out of food. There's a famine. Can you imagine that God would bring you to a place where there'd be a famine? How could that be? I must be out of the will of God. Something must be wrong. So he trots down to Egypt because there's food in Egypt. But he gets nervous as he gets close. And he says to his wife, "Honey, you are so beautiful that I'm afraid it's going to cost me my life." If people know that you and I are married, they're going to want to kill me in order to have you. How about we just let them have you anyway? What? Yeah, you know how you and I are. I mean, you're my half-sister, okay? So let's just say you're my sister, okay? It's not a complete lie. We'll just leave out the part about the fact that we're married. And so we'll tell them you're my sister, and then they'll be nice to me trying to get to you. Not okay. Not okay. Not honest. Not brave. Instead of relying on God as his defender, he's relying on deceit. And he's putting his wife in a horrible position. But that's what he did. And she went along with it. And Pharaoh, impressed with her beauty, now I don't know how old she was. Let's suppose he was just 76 and she was like, I don't know, 60? Can a 60-year-old woman be so beautiful that the king of the land would hear about it and say, I want her? Yes. Okay? I'm married to a woman who's in her 60s. It is possible to be absolutely beautiful. Even in your 60s, even in your 70s, I've got a picture of my grandmother on her 80th birthday looking really good. But I'll tell you something. Regardless, the focus of the story should not be, how could she be that good looking? The focus of the story should be, how could he be such a jerk? And that brings into focus something else that's even more astonishing. In order to protect her, God made Pharaoh's household sick and finally revealed to him, you're not supposed to have that woman as your wife. She belongs to that man, who meanwhile has been acquiring camels and servants and all kinds of stuff. So I'm looking at that and I'm just thinking, I'm glad God protected her, but why didn't God just smite Abram and say, never mind, I'm going to use somebody else? Right? But God had chosen Abram. And the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. God knew what was going to happen. God wasn't saying, what? God knew what was going to happen. And by the way, God has never once asked me for advice. And he doesn't need yours either. God knows what he's doing. He's got a plan, and he's going to carry his plan to completion. So God protected her and continued to bless Abram. And I'll just give you a little preview of the future. This isn't the last time that Abram will pull this stupid, wicked stunt. Because he didn't always trust God the way he should. You know what? There will be times in your life when you will mess up and not do what you should have done and trust God the way you should. And God doesn't give up on you. Praise the Lord. I am so grateful that God doesn't give up on us. And that even when it looks like nothing's happening, we finally made it to Canaan and we ran out of food. Even when it looks like that, it doesn't mean that the party's over. You need to realize that God has a plan. And that the need for miracles does not intimidate God at all. His plan often requires miracles because God likes to do them. So don't be afraid to trust in him and don't get stuck mourning the past. Get focused on what God has called you to and do it for his name's sake.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.